Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
There is a place where time stands still. Where nature is harsh and demanding. Where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my gun.
Took it in the guts, Barry. Far away from my...
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel, 3CR's look at the film and moving image industry in Australia, focused on Australian film. And we couldn't be more Australian. We're taking ourselves to Fitzroy, and we've got Zoe Coldham on in the studio, a live guest. How exciting. How are you, Zoe?
I'm great. Thanks, Annie. It's really good to be here. And 3CR is such an important part of Fitzroy's history. So it feels like a good partnership to be chatting this morning.
Yeah, I agree. Because, of course, you're in the process of doing a fundraising campaign for your new feature documentary, Fitzroy, A History of Protestant Activism. But before we get on to that, let's go back to the most recent short that you've been involved in, which is A History of Gore Street. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's correct. So my new film, I guess, is an expansion of Gore Street, Fitzroy, which I produced, directed, wrote, edited, kind of did a lot of it myself in 2025.
Were you studying film, or is this something that you've done off your own bat?
No, I have studied film, and I've been in the industry for about 10 years. But this was very much a personal, almost like an artistic project of mine.
So what roles were you doing in that 10 years?
Over the 10 years was more just developing ideas around the film. I grew up on Gore Street, and my dad still lives there, which is very close to this studio.
Yeah, yeah,
like Gore Street's 20 meters.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a suburb that has gone through various waves of change as it's been gentrified across the years. And so growing up, I saw the place that I lived just change beyond recognition over and over again. And I had certain neighbours or businesses that I held very dear to me that would move away because of housing prices increasing, or businesses would shut down. And I think from an early age as well, just being interested in documenting and photography and that sort of thing, this idea was probably just developing almost my entire life in a way. And then as I studied film, I would just write different notes, different reflections I had. And so probably for about, 8 years I was doing that. And then I got some funding from the City of Yarra Arts Grant in 2024. And I thought, okay, cool. This is an opportunity to actually put everything I've been thinking about into a piece of work.
Mm. The reason why I asked you about your technical background, because part of this sort of program is that it's fascinating to me how people practically arrive at their artistic fulfillment effectively. That's
yes.
What you're doing. So you've learned, you went to film school, did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and so you learned all that range of technical skill, and you've also, I would imagine, created a coterie of people who are interested in your project.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's such an interesting thing to explore, is how people get to their creative process or their method. I think maybe when you're in film school, you think you're going to study and then you're going to come out and you're going to make your you know, magnum opus, wonderful piece of work straight away, but it doesn't really work like that. You kind of have to build experience in the technical side, but then also develop your voice. And I think it takes a lot of time. And I probably beat myself up about it a lot in my early 20s, thinking, oh, you know, I haven't made anything yet. But over that time, I started a business in you know, filmmaking and photography. I actually had a whole, you know, series of 3 years where I was shooting a lot of weddings, which is seems completely different, but in a way, weddings prepare you for being really quick to notice shifts in things that are happening, in, you know, you have to capture emotion of a day, and that actually really prepared me for the filmmaking I do now. So by the time I was ready to tell this story in the sense of the story being ready and the way I wanted to tell it, I also had 10 years of technical experience that I could just bring. I knew how to use a camera. I knew how to edit because I'd had so many years editing for different production companies. So I remember in my mid-20s when I was feeling really lost, a different artist who's an amazing artist that works with floral designs, she said to me, just keep chasing, following what you're interested in, just keep following it and you'll finally get there. And she was right. Like, you end up where you end up and you think, oh yeah, everything that I was doing has led to this point.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, it's like when people talk about writing a memoir, very difficult to actually externalize your personal experience. And I mean, I know that doing a film is not the same as doing audio, although they're married together. But just the experience I've had over time collecting audio histories has led me to have this great appreciation for the way people tell a story. And so making a film, like, I mean, you wrote, made a short called about Gore Street. Now, that's a big challenge, actually, to tell a story about in a short-form film around something that's about your internal life as well as external life of other people.
Mm.
How did you approach that?
That's a great question.
Well, I mean, it's everything that you've been doing.
Yeah. I had to have limitations in which parts of the story I would tell, because if I was going to tell the whole history of Gore Street, it would go for 4 hours. And there were a lot of people in the street that wanted me to kind of tell the entire history, but I couldn't do that. And it also wasn't really the way that I wanted to tell the story. For me, the film is about the idea of home. And what constitutes a home? Is it just a building? Is it a place? Is it a feeling? Is it the people you connect with? So that was kind of like my guiding, that's what guided me through the storytelling. I then basically thread together interviews from different people on the street. And so it's very much their story and their ideas of home, and then linked to my personal experience of home on Gore Street as well. And it's also linked to a very personal part of that experience of my home in Gore Street, which was losing my mum and the grief behind that, and then linking the grief of that with change and a suburb changing and the idea of loss and losing things and an uncomfortability with loss. So I think, yeah, there was a lot in it. And
that's the thing about film, isn't it? The visual shorthand allows the emotional self
exactly
to expose.
I think that is how I express myself. Some person might write a memoir, someone might write a song, an essay. I make a film. And in a way, it's a really long way of expressing myself. Sometimes I wish I could just write a song and get it out. But what I realized in making this was filmmaking is the way that I express how I feel. Like, it has to come with writing and with visuals attached, because I think I'm a very visual person and I also experience the world in emotions too. And to capture an emotion, for me, I feel you need you know, audio, musical elements, visuals, and then words. For me, that's how I express it.
And time and motion. This is the thing about film too. Time encapsulated or telescoped, which is weird in itself.
Yeah, you mean like capturing a moment and
It. It's like you said about weddings. Now, weddings have a long tail, generally speaking. No, but, you know, leading up to them, then the thing happening, and then how it's appreciated later when they look at the footage of the event. Mm. But the person watching it from the outside has to be aware of their facial, emotional selves and all the things, as well as the drama that is inherent in the affair. And it's the same with a film.
Yes.
You're aware of the audience at the same time, but there's a lot of time that happens before you can telescope it into the film.
Yes, that's true. And that was a big part of the editing process. A lot of the interviews I did were very long, and the residents on Gore Street told me a lot about the history. But in the end, I just captured, I put in the edit, almost like anecdotes, just moments in time, and then piece them together, and it kind of tells a story of, I guess the drama of the street. And there was a lot of drama. There was, there's been murders on Gore Street. There's been,
there were brothels on Gore Street.
Brothels on Gore Street. Yeah, there was Russian migrants that would get together in a place called Russian House, and they'd celebrate their culture through dance or plays, and they have a library there of Russian books. There's Aboriginal people that met at the Builder's Arms pub, and they actually found family there that they'd lost through stolen generations. Or Mother Teresa set up the Sisters of Charity mission.
And they're still there.
They're still there. And so actually, as I was making it, I knew the street had interesting characters, but it was became even more remarkable than I thought. And it actually, I felt, painted a picture of Fitzroy, this place that is incredibly diverse. And because of that has, I guess, had different groups of people that were needed to fight for, you know, through poverty or oppression, things like that. And the film actually touches on that gently. And that's why I thought, okay, now I've kind of established this theme, I want to expand it and make a bigger film, Fitzroy as a whole and its history of this theme of resistance and activism and strong community action and self-expression. And I think it's formed a really strong identity in Fitzroy. And it's very important it's important to me, and I'm sure a lot of people that live in Fitzroy, that doesn't get lost as we continue to develop and gentrify.
We're talking with Zoe Coldham about her film that she's in the process of getting off the ground, called Fitzroy, A History of Protest and Activism. You're on 3CR, your community radio station, and you're with Annie. But before we go on, we'll hear from the wonderful Rod Quantock.
Dum da 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 dum da 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 boom 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 boom. Hi, I'm Rod Quantock, and you're listening to Fill in the Dots. You know who you're listening to. Why do I have to tell you who you're listening to? You know who you're listening to. You're listening to, yes, Fill in the 3CR Community Radio. You got it right. You've won a giraffe. We're at 8:55 a.m. We're on digital radio and streaming at 3cr.org.au. 3CR has been making trouble since 1976, and occasionally I've been part of the trouble that's been made. It's a vital part of our media landscape, and I'd encourage you to get a hacksaw, an oxyacetylene torch, and go up to the Dandenongs and bring down all those broadcast towers that aren't 3CR's towers. And let's make 3CR the only source of information to an information-starved, dumbed-down Australian community. Written, authorised and spoken by Neil Mitchell.
Yes, that's right. You're on 3CR Community Radio with Annie on Showreel. And as I said, we're having a chat with filmmaker Zoe Coldham about her new film, which is in progress, Fitzroy, A History of Protest and Activism. And one of the things, I actually recently walked down Gore Street, not thinking about your film or anything, but just on purpose, walking down and in a purposeful way, and started to realise, I mean, I've had a connection to this suburb for quite a long time because I'm an elderly person now. But, you know, for a long time, probably 40 years, I've been frequenting this place. But I was walking along Gore Street and realising how beautiful some of the buildings are, and I started to take photographs of them purely because they were so odd and unusual. And one of the things that is about Fitzroy in particular is that it's grand but human scale. It's human scale, and we're in the midst of a time of atomization and separation of people and trying to prize people out of their community and their humanness. And doing an investigation of this suburb is a fine thing to do, and to do it in the lens of protest and activism. You've got a lot of material to work with.
Yeah, I have a lot of material to work with, and I'm collecting a lot as I go as well.
Is it like picking up river stones and feeling them to see which one might fit into the process that you're making?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it. I think we've just started a local campaign to collect stories, so you'll see posters around Fitzroy that say, do you have a story about Fitzroy's history? And there's like a QR code that people can submit stories. And there's going to be so many that come through, and I think that's, you have to kind of place them all together and choose which ones you think are going to tell the whole picture without including everything in it. It's interesting what you said about the buildings as well and them all being different, because I want to include that in the way that I visually represent this film. There's so many layers in this suburb, and on those layers, I know people say, oh, graffiti tours of Fitzroy and that sort of thing, it's a bit like whatever, but it's true. Like, you might see some words of protest that are from many years ago, and then maybe like some art that was done by a very prominent artist. So hopefully, like, sometimes, I mean, in Collingwood there's a Keith Haring mural. He lived on Napier Street while he was painting that, and I think if you look, there's just a lot of layers of history on the walls in Fitzroy, but also in the buildings and the different styles of architecture. And in the 70s, there was a Slum Reclamation Act, or the 50s, sorry, and they wanted to just knock all the buildings down for commission housing, and that would have been a tragedy. And there were some beautiful terrace houses just, you know, 5-10 metres from here that they did knock down. So there's just so much in the people, but also the buildings, and I intend to capture that without capturing all of it.
No, but it's a good way to trawl through and to come across things. So, for example, the big battle to stop the tunnel taking away Alexander Parade, for example, and no tunnel, no way. That's a major battle from, you know. There are other major battles as well that people will be aware of that are important to include, I presume, and ones that come to mind. Even down to... I remember in the 80s there was the long struggle for East Timor, and the East Timorese, the office for to fight for independence for East Timor used to be a little building just along Gertrude Street, which is no longer there.
Yeah.
But it's funny how time seems timeless. I can remember being in my school uniform waiting on the on Brunswick Street, on the opposite side of the window that had the flying trapeze picture on the glass.
I would love to include the flying trapeze in this story.
These wonderful, the fact that the Metropole, which is now a post office, being across the road at the time when I saw it, it was still a pub, and the Rob Roy, which is now the Workers Club. And they used to, this is actually the most disturbing story about the Rob Roy walking past it. And there were girls in skimpy clothes dancing on the tables. In its last throes. They were obviously thinking that they could get more punters in. And Rob Roy and the Metropole Pet Drunks used to stand on the corners and harass each other. Across on the corner. The great days.
There's very large, aside from that, there's very large examples of activism, like the fight against the tunnel, like you said. There's also the fight to save the Fitzroy Pool.
Oh, yeah, very big.
Which some, older generations might know about, but younger people I don't think often have heard about.
And there was a lot of art around.
So much art. And I guess the story goes Jeff Kennett deemed that the pool wasn't financially viable and he wanted to demolish it to make way for apartment blocks. And there was a huge resistance from the community and it got everyone involved.
Yeah.
There was Kaz Cook, who made all the amazing art for the posters. But then they also linked in the schools. So my primary school, Fitzroy Primary School, and Sacred Heart and North Fitzroy, they all came down one day and tied little ribbons to the gate to show their love for the pool. And then comedian John Clark, who used to live around
the
corner.
John Clark.
He was an important part of that campaign. And they actually staked out the pool's offices while they were closed. And that was the headquarters. And it just got everyone involved. And it culminated in 3,000 people walking down Brunswick Street protesting to save the pool and then actually getting into the drained pool. And it was a national story and it was successful.
Yeah.
And the pool's still there. And it's such a beautiful story of basically when they opened the pool, when they first originally opened the pool, they had like a boat that went in to kind of like signify the opening. And then when the pool, the Save the Pool campaign was successful, they celebrated by bringing a boat into it again. And apparently the noise of the children cheering was just so like celebratory. And it just gives me goosebumps that was just the Fitzroy that I grew up in. This feeling that you could resist and be successful and you could do it in a way that was creative and built community and connection. And that's big example. The freeway was another great example. But then there's like small examples of activism as well. Maybe the Timor story that you put forward.
It's really just that, that's part of where the 3CR and its ongoing activism. I recently did an interview with one of the he's a doctor now, but at that time he spent a lot of time working on the East Timor fight. Peter Job, and he was talking about how he's written a history around the whole activism of it, how at the time nobody took any notice of what they were doing. They acted as if the people fighting for East Timor's freedom were crazies and fools and all that. But people just persisted and persisted and persisted. In the end, they were on the right side of history. And there are battles of that sort on a continuous basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Large and small scale.
Large and small scale.
Yeah.
And so we should really get down to the nuts and bolts as we're coming to the end of the program about people needing to support your project.
Yes. So as I said, we've launched a campaign to collect stories and archive, which includes images and video. There's some great stuff out there, but I think a lot of it would be held within the community. So any archive that people have of Fitzroy in any era, really, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, I'm very interested in collecting that. And I guess as well it's worth mentioning that part of the campaign is to raise some funds so we can actually move this film into production. It's currently in the phase of development, which means I'm writing the script, I'm collecting research. But yeah, we do need the funds because it's a much bigger project than Gore Street. It's going to be a 90-minute feature documentary. And so there'll be a lot of interviews, post-production, all of that stuff that needs to happen. So yeah, if anyone feels like donating any amount of money, we have the campaign is up on the Australian Cultural Fund. You can just Google Fitzroy, A History of Protest and Activism, and it's there.
Yeah, fantastic. So you've come to 3CR, which is a perfect place to begin. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of work done in small places. Like, for example, there was a film not very long ago about, I can't even remember the name of it, but about the hotel that in Moore Street where people used to come. They had to be the right sort of people to be allowed to go and stay there. But that woman has recently gone to open a hotel near Castlemaine. That's a historical presentation of Fitzroy in a light that's very particular, right?
Yeah.
Lots of material out there. People have been documenting this place because it's extraordinary and unusual. But actually, let's hope it's a bit of a virus that what happens in Fitzroy and what you present in your film actually becomes contagious, because it would be so much more human to have more Fitzroys, if you ask me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, there's so much amazing historical recording that's been done about this suburb, and I hope to be able to bring it together into one film that really celebrates that spirit of resistance, because at the moment it's so important that we keep doing that, but doing it in a way that connects us rather than isolates and silos us. And I'm so excited to keep uncovering these stories.
Thanks very much for coming in, Zoe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Coming up next is Published or Not, and on the podcast we'll put the links to where you can donate, or you can perhaps share some of your stories. We'll go out with The Other Side, the Ort Rivers. Thank you.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.